At first, though, let's...
Oh, my God. Like, I could not believe it. All my house, we all got fired up for it. We all got hyped up for him to win. And then when he got knocked down, the whole... I've never heard anything so silent. I mean, I can imagine Goodison Park was like it as well. I mean, it was a flash knockdown, wasn't it? He got caught cold. He opened up a little bit. He got a bit carried away with himself to the body and kind of thought he could stop him and looked for the stoppage too early in my eyes and opened up and got caught cold. I don't think if that happened in the fifth round that he would have gone down like he did. But yeah, obviously he got back up. I was a bit worried because in the corner after the first round, to me, his eyes looked a bit glazy and I thought, please don't let him be like completely dazed. But obviously he come back out in the second and showed us all what he could do. He said in there, didn't he, that five men couldn't have kept him down. So I was just glad that he got through it and done what he wanted to do in there because I think every boxing fan knew it was his dream.
I think there was a little bit of shock when you mentioned about that glazed eyes. You know, I don't think he expected to get knocked down like that. And I think I was all kind of just related to the shock that he was having. And Dave Colwell, he said this to me on Tuesday and he said it in the ring. You know, he got greedy, didn't he, Bellew, in the early round there? He got really greedy and wanted to entertain that crowd instead of focusing on just putting his man down.
I think, I'm not sure if Colwell said this. I'm not like rephrasing if he didn't say it. But I'm sure he said something along the lines of, don't do it for them, do it for you.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Meaning, don't try and please these fans. I know that's all he wanted to do. But as you said, he landed a couple of good body shots and come through with the right hand and it landed. And I think he did get a bit greedy and he wanted the first round and he wanted the big moment, his big moment that he'd obviously been dreaming of. So you can understand why he made the mistake of rushing in. But he did get caught cold and obviously Colwell knew exactly why and what. And obviously he sent him back out and he done the business. But the left hook that he knocked him out with was, I mean, it was so beautifully executed. I mean, if anyone wants to know how to throw one, that's how to throw a left hook.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
Put him, I mean, it's amazing. He threw about, I think it was about seven right hands beforehand, which obviously I've watched the replays about a million times over to analyse it. But, yeah, he threw loads of right hands before on the ropes, I think, to set him up to drop that hand for the left hook. And, I went like an absolute madwoman in my house. So I'm really, really happy for him. But, he done it. It sounds, again, really cheesy, but he did do it the Rocky way, didn't he?
He did,
off the canvas to win. And I think it made it all the more sweeter when he did win. I mean, you see how much it meant to him and Dave when the referee called the fight off when he was on the floor. But, yeah, massive congratulations to him and Dave Caldwell.
Yeah, you know, they were telling me that the emotion in that arena, in Goodison Park, in that ring, was just off the scale. And they really, really can't recreate that, they don't think, anywhere else. They just couldn't believe what happened. And, you know, they're still on cloud nine now. I know that.
I was on cloud nine all on Bank Holiday Monday. I went training. I went boxing with my dad. And I felt inspired. And, I mean, I'm not an Everton fan. And I didn't think I'd get as involved as I did. But I was still on top of the world for him, so God knows how he must just still be on the ceiling because I feel it for him. So I really am glad they both got the job done.
And what do you think of all the nonsense with David Haye afterwards as well?
Oh God, I think they've always had a bit of spite, haven't they? Them two. I don't think it's ever going to happen. David Haye coming, I think at 16 stone for his last fight. I don't think he'd fight at cruiserweight again, which is obviously why he said it. Heavyweight's his natural. He's like a. Sounds really silly. He's light at heavyweight. He comes in quite light at weight, but I just don't think it's going to happen. I just think Bellew's doing it. He has got the belt now, so he's got every right to do what he wants to do. But I think again, David Haye's just getting his name out there again, isn't he? He's just putting his name in the midst of everybody. So every sports fan's got him on his mind. Because at the moment, he's not only just speaking about Bellew. He's got Shannon Briggs. He's calling out Joshua. You know what I mean? He's cleverly keeping his mind up there. His name up there in everyone's mind. So I don't think it's ever going to happen. But well done to Bellew. I think he should enjoy it as much as he can.
Yeah, I do too as well. He's going to have an absolutely wild few months, I expect. You know, just trying to come down from this. And then, but Dave was telling me that, you know, he's not too long between him and Price getting back in the gym and getting back in the ring again and get sparring and get training for the next fight. He's our taskmaster, is Colwell. You know, he's only a small man, but he's our taskmaster.
Great trainer. Yeah, great trainer, get them back in the gym straight away so they can't misbehave.
Yeah, like exactly. That. Exactly. That's how he does it. Now, on the undercard, obviously, we're going to talk about Callum Smith. I know there's something you mentioned to me earlier on. He's a man who wants to become a world champion. He wants to beat James DeGale or Buddy Jack, he's been talking about. Whereas he's boxed at Goodison Park now, he wants to head over the road to the other stadium, to Anfield, which is going to have a nice new stand as well and fight there as well. He wants to defend that title there. Of course, he had a wonderful stoppage on the undercard, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He had obviously he got the stoppage in the sixth round, but I think he was heavily criticised. I mean, I looked obviously on the flow on Twitter and see people's reaction, but even in the media afterwards, he was criticised a lot for his performance. He was very frustrated by Renault, so he got a first round knockdown. He's saying he was rushing in. He was really trying again, like Bellew, he tried to force the stoppage early to make another statement of, oh, I've got another first-round stoppage. And he was criticised a lot for coming in and he caught with counter left hooks quite a lot. And people saying that he should have taken care of his opponent much earlier. But full credit to Renoso, who did go like six rounds, did take his punishment for six rounds, which we know is quite heavy punishment. But Callum's actually, he's waiting for his mandatory shot at Badu Jack's WBC super middleweight title. But I think before that, I'm not sure if this is true or going to happen, but Badu Jack and James DeGale are going to have a possible unification clash.
Wow.
So I'm not sure. I think that's why everyone's waiting on the news of what's going to go on. But if they have their fight first, I think that Callum still remains the mandatory challenger to that person if they want to take it or not, if that makes sense.
So yeah, I know what you mean.
I think he's just waiting. He's waiting on any sort of news. I think he said he's going to go on holiday first, which obviously after a training camp, everyone deserves a holiday. But he believes he's got the tools to come out against them, any one of them victorious, because he's been asked about that earlier this evening. But it's such a packed division. I mean, we've got Murray Groves on the undercard of Joshua. Mm. We've got Jamie Cox, who's calling out for a title shot against absolutely anybody. The division's so exciting, and it's definitely one to watch. And if he's going to do the, as you said, defender title at Anfield, I think there's a lot of scousers that want that.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. And as I said, you know, new stand being put together at Anfield at the moment increases the capacity there. And there's, what was it, 20,000, I think, at Goodison Park. I know it's like the big bragging rights in the city, you know, the Liverpool will want to do Everton here. They'll want to fill Anfield, without a doubt. They'll want to get 30, 40, 50,000 in there.
Smith will call his brothers in. He'll get his brothers on the undercard, and I think with a good undercard, that will sell out in minutes for me.
Yeah,
I know the scouts are great. You heard it at the Goodison Park what the noise was like, and that was only with 20,000. I mean, can you imagine what it'll be like at Anfield with double that, with another British world title on it? I mean, it'll be, as you said, unthinkable. It'll be amazing. But yeah, Callum's 20-0 at the moment, which was obviously a great,
incredible,
great record. So I just hope he does get his chance. If it's against James DeGale, I'm going to need to look into it further because I don't know, but I do believe he's got a great chance of beating Badu Jack. I think he's a very beatable champion. So let's hope he does get a shot, whoever it may be against, and hope he can put all of the people that are criticising him to sleep.
And talking of Liam as well, he's been very heavily praised by Tony Bellew, hasn't he? And he thinks he can continue this success of Liverpool here. Tony Bellew reckons he's doing very, very well at the minute.
Well, Liam Smith, is that, did you say? Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's on the Box Nation card in Liverpool this weekend. It's the Echo Arena, which I've been to. It's a great
great place. I've gone in a couple of weeks. Yeah, it's going to be a cracking venue.
Yeah, it's a great atmosphere up there. He's making the second defence of his world title against, bear with me, Predrag Radicevic. I'm really sorry about that pronunciation for anyone that gets offended. And it's in his hometown of, obviously, Liverpool on Box Nation. His opponent is quite a rough and ready fighter. For anyone that doesn't know about him, he's ranked 11th with the WBO, and he insisted today at the press conference that he's not there to make up numbers, and his only ever defeat was in 2013 against Felix Stern. Just a little fact for you all. But then since 2013, he's only fought three times. He's won all three of them between that, his last loss and now. But he says he's not there to make up numbers, and he believes he's got what it takes. He's going to say this, but he believes he's got what it takes to beat Liam Smith. For me, it's just another, it will be quite difficult for maybe the first few rounds that he's going to come at him quite wildly. But I think Liam Smith is he's pretty got his head screwed on. He knows what he's going to do. He's going to get through it and he's going to be okay. But he's been out of the ring since December, which is obviously pretty long. It's 6 months, obviously. So I think he's Smith's just concerned with putting on a good display of boxing, getting off some ring rust and getting out of the ring with the belt. And promoter Frank Warren today also said that there's a huge fight for Smith in September. So obviously you can't overlook his opponent on Saturday, but I do think that Smith's going to come out of there with the win, and then hopefully we'll see a big, big clash back in Liverpool in September.
Sky are kind of theorising there is a possibility of a bout against Canelo Alvarez as a bit of an incentive here for these two fighters. Smith knows he can't afford to slip up with this one. Obviously, every boxer knows that they can't afford to slip up against their opponent and never going to underestimate him.
Canelo's gone missing since he gave that belt up.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone was saying on Twitter the other day, like, where's he gone? I mean, he gave the belt up and since then, usually he's quite vocal and active on who he wants next, what he's doing, where he's training and where he's on today and stuff. But he's been very quiet. So maybe they are plotting a little September comeback. Maybe in London, we don't know. But it'd be great to see Liam out in Vegas, wherever he goes. I hope he does keep the belt.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. You know, it'd be fantastic if he manages to get over there and, you know, and turn that up. So that'd be fantastic, wouldn't it? And keep that belt. It'd be absolutely amazing. Scouse boxing really flying at the minute. British boxing flying at the minute, but Scousers really, you know, flying the flag over this past few weeks. Yeah, go
putting
for
it on the mat.
Yeah, without a doubt. Just having a quick look at this Olympic boxing story that I'm sure you've seen over the past few days, that it's been kind of agreed that pro boxers could enter at Rio. I mean, I've heard many opinions on this. I'd love to hear yours.
You're going to let me have a little rant.
Go for it. I'm sitting back right now. You crack on.
Put your feet up. No, I'm so against it. When I saw it, I thought it was a joke on Twitter. I see it when it broke, the story broke, and I'm so against it. For me, the Olympics are like a holy grail of amateur sport. It's something that I know of people, and I mean, Anthony Fowler is one that I know of, who's worked so hard. And I mean, winning an Olympic medal for me is like winning a world title to the pros. It's something that you work and amateurs dream of. If they don't dream of going on further and turning over, it's something that every amateur I know dreams of. And I think both disciplines lose their identity when you make a decision to mix them up. I mean, anyone that's transitioned from amateur to pro will tell you how different the sports are. And it adds a spanner in the works for me as well for, like, qualifying. Because, again, you've got an amateur who's trying to qualify for an elite event. But against a world champion, for me, that just becomes stupid. You're putting someone who's on a different level. I mean, the sports are completely different. One's fought over 3 3-minute rounds and one's fought over a maximum of 12 rounds. But amateurs can fight, obviously, major international tournaments. Amateurs fight maybe 7 days in a row sometimes. I mean, I know Anthony Fowler and the boys that are qualifying for the Rio now sometimes have had to fight 3 days in a row in the World Series to even qualify for a qualifier. Do you know what I mean? So they're used to fighting quick free frees, really fast pace, whereas pros obviously have much fewer fights, can fight up to 12 rounds, but will also start very slow. If you notice, like, even if you look at people like Carl Froch, in the first 3 rounds of his fights, he usually loses them. And I know a lot of fighters that do that. I mean, James Agel sometimes loses the middle rounds of his fight and starts strong and ends strong, but he loses the middle 3 rounds. So for me, it's a bad, very bad decision to pit two styles of boxing against each other for me. I mean, Carl Froch said that someone like Anthony Fowler could beat him without head guards and he gets to him quite quickly, whereas Froch starts quite slowly. He's come out and said that in all of his press conferences. So for me, it's just it's really, really, it takes away the spirit of the Olympics as well for me. I mean, I've actively worked at an Olympic Games in London 4 years ago, and I worked at the boxing arena. And for me, there's just such a special spirit that is around all of these amateur boxers because they know they've got a chance to show themselves on the big stage. Whereas for me, to put a pro into an amateur scene like that, they've been there, they've kind of done it, they know what the professionals are like, and it's kind of like walking out at an Olympics. So for me, the whole spirit gets taken away, and it's quite disrespectful to amateurs who have fought their whole career to fight at an Olympic Games just to get pitted against a pro. For me, it's a dangerous move, and it, again, like we're talking now, it can start a lot of controversy and questioning and amateurs to say, well, what's going on here? This is unfair. Boxers like Frampton, Froch, Bellew, and even like Mike Tyson have come out and said they're against the move that's going to happen. It's obviously implemented on the 5th of August. That's when the rule actually comes in. But I think if a pro won the Olympics, for example, I think Amir Khan showed a bit of interest in joining for Pakistan. But if a pro won that, for me, it would just take away the whole importance of it. I'm not saying they're any more or less of a boxer if you're amateur or professional. But for me, the amateurs just need to... It needs to stay the way it should have stayed the way it is, in my opinion. Our Amateur Boxing Association have only got two more spots to fill for the team in Rio. So I don't think it's going to greatly affect the team that are going over to Brazil, with like Josh Kelly and Pat McCormack likely to fill them two spots anyway. But I just think looking into the future, it's going to just throw a big whirlwind of names and abilities and rounds and fitness into question. And I just don't think, I think it loses, it's lost its identity for me, and that's upsetting.
You know what, I had a little thought, and I don't know whether this is something that's kind of crept in a few people's minds, but I'm just seeing the kind of sensationalism of it here. I'm just wondering, did they ever think that there might be some kind of big news story coming out of this that, you know, if they could bring the pros in, and obviously there's two sides to the coin, I guess, isn't there? You know, if you're an amateur boxer, you fought so hard to get into this, you get into the Olympics, you're buzzing, you're going to Rio, everything's good. Oh, by the way, your opponent's Manny Pacquiao. And it's game over. You're kind of mentally beaten, aren't you, before you even start? But are they also thinking that there could be an upset here, and like say a Manny Pacquiao could just get knocked sparko by somebody nobody's ever heard of before, and that right there is a huge story that puts Olympic boxing and the Olympics more on the map than it already is?
I do think that you're so right. I do think that, like my thing about Dave Television with David Haybill, I do believe that this whole ruling brings it to the masses. Now, I mean, someone like me would know who every amateur boxer was going into the event of an Olympic because I follow it. Whereas somebody like my mum or my sister, who are not hugely involved with boxing like I am, would watch Olympic boxing but not know who Anthony Fowler and Pat McCormack are because I go to amateur events. Does that make sense? So yeah. Someone like my mum would probably actively watch an Olympics if it had, say, Amir Khan, Manny Pacquiao and against an amateur, because she'd be like, oh, and it'd be like a recognisable, famous name. So I do. That's a really good shout, actually, that it is just, it's publicising it a lot more. I mean, this ruling has got been all over every media outlet, and I do think it's aiming it at the masses, whereas, as you said, somebody knocks out Pacquiao or Pacquiao wins an Olympic Games or whatever, that is going to sell papers, whereas, unfortunately, which upsets me, an amateur boxer, and it's not going to sell as many newspapers and as many headlines as if they win a gold, as obviously Manny Pacquiao would. So that's a really good shout, actually. I do totally agree with you.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if that's something that's been going through their mind. It does concern me that could happen, and I really hope it doesn't. I think we're both very much in agreement, Brooke, that it is quite frankly ridiculous right now, and I think that's the main point of it right there. Brooke, for Boxing Media UK, thank you so much for joining us once more. Another cracking weekend of boxing coming up at the Echo Arena. Liverpool flying the flag right now, and hopefully some of our Yorkshire fighters are going to get back in a couple of fights very, very soon. Brooke, we'll speak to you in a bit.
Look forward to it.